This is a recording of the February 20th, 2018 regular board of directors meeting to convene at 4 p.m. at the Chugach boardroom.
Let's call the meeting to order. It is 4:02 on February 20th, and let's start with Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let's start with roll call. Present in the room, we have Director Clark. We have Director Morse, Director Henderson, myself. On the video conference, we have Director Reed. And do we have Director Kupa on the phone?
Not yet.
Okay.
There
you are. So we have Director Cooper on the phone, and Director Crawford will be arriving a little bit later. He has a flight that I understand is landing around 4:30. So with that, we have a safe meeting.
Do we have the slides up this time?
We do.
All right.
Pulling it up as we speak.
All right, while we wait for the slides to come up, I can get rolling. So the city minute for this month is tips for driving in snow. I think February coming to May. We probably got a couple months left of winter driving, at least. Who here has had a winter-related driving near miss? A few hands going up there, myself included. So we'll talk through the things we can do to minimize the near misses that we have in winter driving. I've been driving in winter crap in my entire life, and every winter I have some near miss that happens. So this stuff is pretty real to us. So first tip that we have, if we can hit the space bar, we'll just go to the next slide. All right, so clean off your car. That's a pretty good tip. I think we've all seen people driving down the road that took a minimal effort cleaning off their car. What is the next slide right there? So clearly, we want to clear the whole thing off. I think one thing that people forget to clear off is their headlights and taillights in the front and back. I think all of us at one time in our life have looked at our car and realized we didn't have anything to scrape our windows. So then we use whatever we can find, such as credit cards and stuff like that. So it really helps to be prepared. Accelerate and decelerate slowly. I grew up with rear-wheel drive back in the 70s, and so we were pretty much taught not to gun it, go around a corner because you would do a donut. Front-wheel drive cars kind of mitigate that risk a little bit, but I think we all understand that anything you want to do in the wintertime is slow, whether you're accelerating or decelerating. Drive slowly goes without saying. All too often we see people going up the Glen Highway at a high rate of speed, and we're wondering, what are they doing? I think the fourth tip is the most important. We all understand what it's like to brake and drive pavement. Certainly, once we have winter conditions that look like the slide up there, those stopping distances are going to be increased. Know your brakes. I think this is probably the most important thing, and by that, just the other day I was getting ready to pull in the gas station and I hit my brakes or started to decelerate and my car did not stop and it kept sliding and sliding and sliding. And that braking surface was completely different than what I had on Raspberry Road. And so it's always changing. So one key tip is to always get in a habit of kind of knowing what surface you're driving on and your braking distance are going to expand and contract accordingly. So pretty important tip there. Don't stop if you can avoid it. Now at first you're like, oh wait a minute, don't stop if you can avoid it. Really what this is saying is a car in motion is your safest car. And anytime you're going to change a car in motion, you're going to upset it or potentially upset it. You're going to have to apply your brakes or downshift or stuff like that, and that's when bad things can happen. So try to avoid stopping if you can help it. Don't stop going up a hill. I remember one time in Minnesota I was going up a hill, and a car in front of me was running out of momentum, and I thought to myself, if I come to a stop on this hill, I'm not going to get restarted. So I passed her, or him, doesn't matter, on the left-hand side and kept going. So certainly important to keep your momentum going up a hill. And last but not least, I wrote this for Connie, stay home if the weather is bad. So sometimes in Alaska, weather's a lot bad, so word to the wise. So there's our tips for driving in the snow. Hopefully you learned something. I think the most important is know your brakes and your stopping distances, because I can't tell you how often I've been caught off guard by my car not stopping like I thought it would.
Any questions?
Off to the right, we have some safety-related items for the board. Those are winter emergency kits. If you already have one, give it to your kid or daughter or someone you care about. You've got all the things that might come in handy, jumper cables, water, stuff like that. So,
Thank you. Any comments or questions?
Thank you.
All right.
All right. We'll move on to approval of the agenda. Do I have a motion for approval of the agenda?
So moved.
Second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approval of the agenda, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the agenda passes as written. Persons to be heard. I understand that we have a guest in the audience today.
I'd like to introduce
Alisa.
Yeah, thank you. Assistant board chair.
Hi there,
Martina. And our CEO, Lee. Hi. And she had just expressed interest in the. Merger, the coordination of the two groups, and I was impressed that somebody, we don't get too many comments from the public, and actually it's probably the first time since I've been here that somebody from the public even came to a point of a meeting, so I'm pleased or she's not going to stay for the whole thing, but she's going to be here, and I asked her if she's always welcome to come back. And some interesting concerns, so I hope she keeps that. Thank you.
Thank you for reminding me.
Do you have any comments or questions, or you just wanted to visit with us?
Well, I expressed all my concerns to Mr. Henderson. I just hope you guys are what you probably are, and be sure that you are to go cautiously with the city, because it's an 85-year-old utility. Mm-hmm. And I told them it was hoping you guys didn't buy a money pit. So I was look under everything and make sure everything's good.
Well, we appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Any other members? I have a few things that we need to do because of some folks that are participating via phone or video. We need to designate an acting treasurer for the meeting. Stuart? All right. Stuart is acting treasurer because Cece is on the phone and not here to sign some things. Susan, can you designate someone to sign your expense report?
Stuart.
All right,
Stuart,
you're the man. And also,
if he's signing, we can't sign both spots on.
And then we also need someone to sign Director Crawford's expense report. Want to do that as well?
Sure.
Okay, great. Thank you. So the housekeeping out. Can we get that taken care of? We'll move on to the consent agenda. There are a couple of things on the consent agenda just to mention. We do have a tentative trip to Juneau, kind of late in the session,
we want just a couple of people to go down with Lee and talk a little bit about the MLMP acquisition proposal. So if you have an interest and are available, we're just going to appoint a couple of people to go. The offices in Juneau are not very big. Just let me know. Let Lee, Connie, and myself know if you have an interest, and we'll take a couple of people to go down with Lee and do that. So that's coming up March 21st and 22nd. Training and conferences, the Gettysburg Leadership Experience. I don't know if you signed up, Jim, but that deadline is coming up very quickly.
They're working on it.
Okay.
That was right. Last week, so
all right. And the NRCA Legislative Conference in Washington, D.C. Bill's going to go,
and if anyone wants to go with him, just let us know.
Okay. Other than that, is there a motion for the approval of the consent agenda? Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the consent agenda, say aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the consent agenda is approved. Moving on to CEO reports and correspondence, and I think Mr. Tracy talk to us about the security of the balloting process.
Sure. Hi, everyone. I'm Teresa Kirka. I'm the person who runs the member services department downstairs. There was a question I guess I came up with the last month's board meeting about how we secure our election and how we handle electronic ballots and how do we know that things are being done as in a secure method as possible. So you've probably read the memo, and I'm pretty much available for any question that you might have, a follow-up question, or just in general. Everything in the election process is built on the premise of one ballot, one member, one vote, and all of our processes are built around that, would be the short answer.
So does anybody have any questions on that? I can't remember who that question came from, but I do remember it coming up.
Some of the things for the online, I know since electronic balloting is relatively new, some of the concerns might be around that process. And in general, we have some monitoring reports that we run. We're looking at things like, are there patterns of ballots being submitted from particular IP addresses? Mm-hmm. You know, IP addresses are all registered to companies and to names, so we know where they're coming from. We're looking at that type of balloting activity. And so again, everything goes back to, did we get a ballot from a member? And if so, then we shut down any other voting method. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much our guiding principle to the whole process.
If you get something that looks suspicious, like a bunch of stuff coming from a mm-hmm. single IP, do you have a process then? Like
absolutely.
You have a decision tree that takes you through what to do?
Yes, we do. So at Serving at Your Pleasure, we have an election committee that monitors the entire election process, and that's some of the things on tonight's agenda are also an outcome of that group. So if we were to see any activity, it would be forwarded to the election committee for their action.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Any other questions? We're going to hear more from Teresa.
Sure.
A little bit.
All right.
All right, moving on. Director report. First up is Perfect. Jim? Harry's not here.
I'm not aware of any meetings since Harry asked that I attend the next one, because he's not going to be here. That's on comments of them.
Madam Chair, we did have our tech board meeting on January 25th. There were invites to both MLMP and HEA, who are not ARCTEC members, but they had both attended. Ann Henderson from MLMP and Brad Janorski and Dan Chafe from Homer Electric. And we walked through, and we also had GES, who are the consultants that are working for us on the facilitation process. And they basically went through a presentation that they put together. And on the 26th was the presentation to the RCA. And we have, I think most everybody's seen the presentation that was done. We basically walked through the presentation, modified it a bit to accommodate some of the concerns that Homer and MLP had. And so I think it was a good discussion. There were issues where the architect wanted to make sure that this was kind of the lead in to the USO type effort. And I think both Homer Electric and MLP had some issues with that. So we didn't go all that way. But we did, I think, have a good discussion on what can be and what was included in the final presentation.
Okay. And maybe we're going to hear a little bit more.
And we could probably talk a little bit more maybe in the executive session, the outcome. We did talk about Representative Adam Wall has sent a request to the RCA to start looking at the progress of the USO and the Transco issues. So they've got a request, and there was supposed to be a commission or a hearing down in Juneau this month, but I think that's been postponed to March. I don't know that we've got actual final dates yet. And
I'll have a bit more in executive session, and we're going to talk about it then.
Okay. Great. That's all I have, Madam Chair.
All right. Any questions on that? Okay. About other director reports. Audit and finance. Cece?
Yes, there has been no audit and finance committee since our last board meeting, and I've had no other correspondence with our auditor since she last been at our board meeting.
All right, thank you. And the chair of the operations committee, we have a new chair, it's now Stuart. And you haven't held any meetings?
Yeah, no meetings have been held yet. I was just appointed to that in the last week or two. However, I am open if people have suggestions on potential topics.
There'll be some things coming up, I think, with review time and things. So, yeah, we need to get those on the calendar. Mm-hmm. And how about governance, Susan?
Well, you'll recall that at our last meeting, we received a report from Jim and proposing, we had reviewed our bylaws and he suggested bylaws changes, and Shulman carried the leading oar on drafting language for bylaws changes, and those have been, I think, submitted to the bylaw committee, and they're meeting Thursday. We're going to meet with them on Thursday and see if we can receive a friendly audience so that those changes can go through smoothly.
And we will talk about those in the next board meeting.
Right.
Okay. All right. Anything else? Any questions on that? And other meetings. Cece, do you have you and Stuart anything?
Go ahead.
You're on, Cece.
Yes, so there were two REIT public policy committee meetings since our last board meeting. I attended both, and Stuart attended the second one, which was an action was taken, a vote was taken on the second one. First one was a discussion only. And I think we can discuss more details in executive session because it's the discussion may go into a project-specific initiative or some RCA comments that would have pertained to a case to a docket that you guys was involved in. And if we can revisit in executive session, that would be great. And also, today was a public policy committee meeting was held, and I wasn't aware of it, and I didn't get to notice in time for that. I think the same happened with yours.
So I'll expand a bit on it, on what you said, Cece. The first meeting I wasn't at, the second meeting, there was the discussion that we'll have in the executive session. The second half of the second meeting was some discussion on the potential acquisition of MLP by Chugach. Ruth is looking at should they support or, you know, publicly support or not. And what became very apparent in the discussion was that all the members present were not informed or educated on what's happening. And so we brought back to Chugach, and I believe there has been a date scheduled to give a presentation to REAP on the whole acquisition.
And that's coming up?
That's coming up tomorrow.
Tomorrow, okay.
Yeah.
And then, like Cece said, there's another REAP public policy meeting today, and I believe we got the agenda last night, so neither of us were there. That is one thing I do see. REAP, you know, in the last meeting, they were talking about a position they're taking, and they gave the board members 2 hours to review everything. So it's not, I think there's some concerns on the timeliness of notice for REAP right now.
Okay. I'm sure the...
Thank you for expanding on that, Stuart. Yes, I agree with that, and I think others brought up the same concerns, not Stuart and I only, but others at the last public policy committee, well, the non-debate public policy committee, but the one before, there were quite a few concerns expressed, and I think hopefully we can get more notice, especially for action being taken as we. Because we would like to give our board enough time to consider the action. But yeah, thank you, Stuart, for expanding on that on the discussion on MLP.
Thanks, Cece.
Madam Chair, I'm just going to mention that the presentation to REAP is in the boardroom tomorrow at 3:30.
Okay.
So if anybody wants to attend.
All right. Any other meetings?
May I ask a question?
Oh, sure, Susan.
About the, I just wondered whether a letter was sent. Was the letter related to the Chugach docket actually sent by REAP without discussion of its content?
To my knowledge, it was sent when we were leaving the meeting. They were trying to call the RCA to see if they would even be able to send the letter we could not include. I'm not sure if we see anything else if we log in on the RCA, whether those comments were accepted or not against the closed docket.
All right, thank you.
Jim?
Hey, is there an amended REAP letter that's in this, all this stuff here? There is the original and there's an amended one, which is...
Yeah,
is that the one that was in that? Is that been delivered or is that waiting for you guys' approval?
No, and I think it's better if we expand on this in the executive session.
Okay. I guess there was a letter filed with the commission and it was changed per direction and comments at the REAP meeting.
Okay. Are there comments? And we'll take it up again in the executive session. All right, anything else on director reports? If not, moving on, we have no unfinished business, and we will head to Section 8, new business. And we will talk about the appointment of the nominating committee members.
Good afternoon. So in addition to the bylaws committee, I also helped facilitate the nominating committee meetings. And we ran into a little bit of an issue where there were four members on the committee when the board came time for the board to appoint new members to the committees. So the board appointed one new member to that committee this year. And subsequent to that, so that made a total of five members on the committee. Subsequent to that, one ran for the vacancy in December and was appointed to that seat. And then another Another member has put his application in to run for the board this year in the annual meeting. So he is conflicted out from being on the nominating committee. So that means we're down to three. The bylaws provides that the committee is to be comprised of not less than five nor more than seven. So because of the timeline, didn't have time to go out and advertise for positions for candidates or whatever, nominations or members who are interested. So I reached out to some of the existing committee members on other committees, and all three that I reached out to agreed to do that for this year, to step up. And two are on the bylaws committee and one's on the election committee. But they've all agreed. You've vetted them before for these committees, but their applications are, I think, in your packets. And so I'm requesting that you appoint these three members to the nominating committee so we can meet our bylaw requirements.
Okay. So do we have a motion?
I move that we appoint the three candidates as you named to the nominating committee.
Can we expand that motion just a little?
I don't have the name. Patty Hogan is one of them. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. I remember.
How about you read that?
Paul Jones. Moved as board of directors to appoint Michael Powell, Jessica Pawlowski, and Patty Hogan to the nominating committee for a 1-year term.
Sorry. Is there a second? All right. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, the motion passes for appointment of members to the nominating committee.
They're all teed up, ready to meet next week. There are four candidates who applied to go for the nominating committee, so they're all teed up for that.
Thank you. Okay, moving on to approval of the 2018 date of record. Krista again.
Hi, I'm back. So these next three are all the work and the product of the election committee. They met twice this season. They're a bunch of trained professionals, so they get through their work quickly and succinctly. And so what's before you is some of their products of their work. So date of record is your first chore, approving that. We're proposing April 5th this year. That complies with bylaw requirements for notice. That means you need to be a member by the close of business that day in order to participate in the election.
So do we have any discussion on that, the date of record? We have a motion.
Move that the Board of Directors set April 5th, 2018 as the date of record for the 2018 election.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Any further discussion? Hearing none. Those in favor of approving the motion for the date of record, say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
Hearing none, the motion passes. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, the next one before you is about appointing the master election judge. So out of that election committee, we have 11 members this year who will participate in the committee. Yeah, they do a great job. Stacey Horn has said she will serve as the master election judge this year.
Okay, any discussion on that? All right, do we have a motion for appointing Stacey Horn as the master election judge?
I move that the Board of Directors appoint Stacey Horn as the 2018 Master Election Judge.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right. No further discussion. We'll go to the vote. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. All right. Next.
Okay, and the third and final one of the pre-election season is approving the election procedures. And again, the election committee takes those procedures, reviews them every year. It sets out how we conduct paper balloting, how we conduct electronic balloting, and some of the basic ballot handling procedures, all the way up through including annual meeting, ballot counting, and then all, basically all of that stuff that goes along with the election.
All right, so do we have a motion for approval of the election procedures?
I move that the Board of Directors approve the 2018 election procedures as recommended by the Election Committee.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right, any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Hearing none, the motion passes unanimously. Thank you very
You're
much
welcome.
For all your work. All right, moving on to the simplified rate filing.
Hello, I'm Jean Cornmuller. I'm the manager of regulatory affairs. So you have before you a resolution to ask for approval to increase rates by 0.7% based on the results of the simplified rate filing for December 31, 2017. On an individual customer class basis, the results show that demand and energy rate increase of 0.7% to Chugach's retail customers and 0.2% to the wholesale class of Seward. Overall, system-based rate change results in an additional revenue of approximately $800,000. If this rate adjustment is approved, the total bill for a residential customer using 600 kilowatt hours will increase approximately 0.4% or 50 cents a month. So if there are any questions, I would gladly entertain you.
So it's my understanding that it is a decrease in the load, basically, that
accelerated
this.
Sales have decreased. In fact, we see lower test period sales of close to $1.1 million.
Okay. And that is that a trend that's been?
This winter was definitely lower. There were less heating degree days as well. So we would hope it's not a continued trend, but we are actually working on compiling data sets to do some modeling and some analysis to see what other factors may be impacting sales and what we can project for the future.
So it's either weather or it's just loss of space in general?
Right, weather, efficiencies, maybe more LED lighting.
Yeah. Okay. Other questions? Susan,
when would the new rates go into effect?
They would go into effect May 1st, 2018.
So the members would know about it in April?
Yes.
Will they know about it before the April 3rd?
We will put it in the April newsletter that goes out. And that actually happens, I think, a week into April.
That's a weird message coming down the gate.
I think you said what I was essentially going to say. There's got to be some thought about the timing and what we're doing in terms of with the sale and or with the acquisition and saying, you know, we aren't going to raise rates at the same time that we make an announcement that we raise rates.
Remember, it has to be clear that we're not raising rates as a result of the sale.
Yeah.
No, these are based on the cost of electric service.
I think that's clear to us, but I think, and I mean, I trust the communications team and how this will roll out. I just think that, I agree, the timing is just awkward.
Really awkward
is maybe the word I would use. Whether or not it has to be done in this way, in this order, it's just awkward.
Is there any way we can, put it out sooner? I mean, just say that.
No, these are really good comments. I think that what we have seen as well, and we looked at this with this in mind, but you know, January came in lower as well.
So this is something that we're seeing, you know, it's significant enough where we need to do something. The timing on it is such the commission has 45 days to review and approve of the filing. So if we file it between now and the end of this month, that pushes us out mid-April. Generally, we don't like to do a rate change between billing cycles. Within the billing cycle period, we like to do it in the first billing cycle of the month. There is specific notification requirements under the SRF process, and we can look at putting that notification in May with the May outlet, and we could also put it in the April outlet as notification.
This is Cece.
Go ahead, Cece.
So I was wondering, I agree with all the comments. I was wondering if there's an opportunity here, if we heard from our members about, kind of along the lines of Susan and Rachel were saying about timing, but is there an opportunity here to say, had, going forward in the future in a world where post-transaction, that there may be this kind of situation would be whether it's better when we have a larger customer base. So something like this wouldn't be as impactful in the future in a one utility world.
I think it's a very valid comment, and I think where we're seeing a lot of the reduction in sales is at the residential level, less so on the commercial level. In MLMP's customer base being heavily driven by commercial, we certainly would have a lot more diversity on the retail customer mix if we had MLMP as part of the customer mix.
Stuart?
I know this is very specific to the GH membership, but do we have any knowledge? Is MLMP experiencing the same loss of customers and the same challenges that we are?
I have not looked at it recently. This is actually a trend at the national level that we've been seeing, and actually starting from around 2007, utilities have had flat, if not declining, loads. Really due to primarily the technology changing, energy efficiency and so forth. Here we've got two things that are happening with the weather as well as the technology impacts.
Go ahead, Rachel.
I just think the communication around it has to be, like, we have to pull in the team and really be specific and help our members understand what is happening. I understand it's related to the acquisition and the good work that we need to do and address the situation that we have. But I think more than maybe we normally do, we have to have that.
Susan?
Yeah, I was just going to say that I think if we're really careful to explain that it's a result of the loss of load or the loss of demand and not the result of increased costs of running the utility, that it will actually could work to our benefit. So, and I know I'm not telling you how to do your job. You've figured that part out, but I think the important thing is to make sure it's not related to the cost of managing the utility, that it's related to demand.
First of all, the simplified rate filings we've been doing consistently for a long, long time. And I think it's an exceptional way of doing it because it causes a change to go up and down as a function of demand. And ours do go down. They do go down. We'll see the SFR go down, and we will give credit rather than waiting a whole year or 2 years to request a movement. Second of all, it is public. This is a public meeting. This is published here. And everybody can see that. And if we start being a little wishy-washy with it, it would cause some credibility issues. Second of all, we're being very transparent. We're being very open with this. It is something we've been doing for quite some time. We're not changing procedures because we have an election. So if the issue is here is communication, then that's the issue. The issue is how we communicate this. If it's not something we're doing as a function of the acquisition at all, or anything again. What if the acquisition doesn't go away? We still have the cost change. And we'll recover it because we need to recover it because we have to recover it. If we don't recover it now, we just kick the can down the road. By golly, I'm not for kicking cans. Okay? We've been doing this for a long time, so let's don't change it. Let's be as transparent and as educated as we can to our members. This would have happened had this merger, this consolidation happened anyway, folks. That's
okay. Other comments? All right. With that, do we have a motion?
And if that the board of directors approve the attached resolution authorizing the guests to file with the RCA at December 2017 test year SRF requesting approval to increase demand and energy rates by 0.7% to Chigach retail, 0.2% to the wholesale class of sewer electric systems for rates effective May 1st, 2018.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any further discussion on this? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion from the floor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, the motion passes unanimously. Thank you.
See, you're right out of step.
Okay. Now we're going to hear about the 115 KV rebuild. Is that? Oh, thank you.
Hello.
Mr. Sinclair.
Hello, my name is John Sinclair. I'm the substation and transmission engineering group. And we got a project in front of you guys for rebuilding the 115. This will be the fourth project to upgrade from 115 to 230. We've done over about the last 6 years. We have an aging infrastructure out there about 50 years old, and we're taking that and replacing it with newer structures, and they'll be insulated to 230. This is about a 10-mile long section. It's the next section that we had based on our studies that showed that we need to do this section. So it's between Hope Substation and Summit Lake Substation. We got it scheduled for design this year and construction next year.
Right now? Do I have a motion?
I move that the Board of Directors approve the resolution authorizing the Chief Executive Officer to approve project expenditures for the 115 KV rebuild of Hope Substation to Summit Lake Substation at an estimated amount of $9,500,000 and with an estimated completion date of December 31st, 2019.
Is there a second?
Second.
And Madam Chair, I had a question. I had a question, and I was fumbling around trying to, because we don't have the documents on the screen, so I had to flip back to find the document. But I knew I had a question about this, and it is about reliability standards and new reliability standards. Are we confident that for construction will meet any new reliability standards, since that seems to be RCA's media focus, and could that change the project? Are we cool with and confident that we're going to be able to meet any new reliability standards?
I believe so. I'm fairly confident that any additional reliability standards, it is insulated to 230. In addition to that, we're taking into consideration any of the avalanche hazards, any of the snow loading up in the mountains. You tend to get quite a bit of snow, so we're taking all of those into the design considerations for this new section of line. So it should be a significant improvement over what we have out there currently, and I'm fairly confident any of the reliability standards that are currently out there and the proposed ones, we would be in sync with that for the line.
And I think one of the important things is we go through an annual process, the construction improvement program. Once a year, we do it in conjunction with our budget. We look out 5 years, and see what capital construction requirements are, and we use the criteria of reliability and safety and so forth. So this is a project that looks at reliability improvements for the system, and this is just one of the projects that's rolled out through that process. And what we do is we approve the project itself, and then when contracts are actually let, if they're over $1 million, they'll come back to the board for approval for individual contract letting.
There'll be a couple of them, and the construction contract for this will be over $1 million. So I'll be back to that, and then because it's about $10 million, we're estimating about 10% of design and inspection services. So at least those, and then probably materials as well. So I'll be back.
Susan, did your question get answered?
It did. Okay. I have kind of a follow-up, though, and that's, I know we've been building a piece at a time. We've been reconstructing our lines to 230, kind of in the anticipation, I think, that there will be, that all the transmission lines will be improved in the rail belt to 230. We're not getting ahead of ourselves here, are we, by investing all this money? If there's another need for this line other than upgrading the entire system or being a part of upgrading the entire system. Is that correct?
I would say because of the age of it, that's really what triggered it. And then looking ahead, your incremental cost from going from 115 to 230, it is pretty minimal compared to the cost of just doing the construction. So when you up to 230, you do have taller structures and you have bigger insulators, but you're already there, you're already on site. I think we get a good bang for our buck, if you will, upgrading it to 230. I mean, you got maybe a 10 to 20% adder. So, yeah. So, I mean, you really do get a cost savings. So that's why we pursued this avenue going to 230. Because you're already there, might as well build it. And it's higher reliability because they are taller structures. They are going to be a little more stout. So that's why we went the direction we did.
Yeah, and I think in the long run, going from 138 to 215 to 230 also reduces our loss, line losses from Kenai when we're bringing power up from Bradley Lake. And it also allows us to transfer more power than we would operated at a lower voltage, so it does a couple of those things as well.
Where's the barn and the panel down there? Would it be south, the next section south?
You built a whole bunch?
I'm not following it. Pieces with pieces. Where's the bottom right now?
Well, there's several sections that still have to be converted from 115 to 230. And I don't know, John, how much line miles do we have left to complete the entire thing?
So we have about 60. That are still need to be upgraded. We've done about 30, so this will add another 10 to that. So once we get done with this, we'll still have 50 miles that still need to be upgraded, and then the substations as well to convert it all, to get it all to 230. So we can, you will be able to move more power, definitely less losses, and that would be good. But in addition to that, right now, getting out there and doing that at 230, I see it as pretty good cost savings. And the intent is to eventually get it to 230, energize it, and be able to push that power.
Now when you can't energize it.
Yep.
Yeah. Madam Chair, I'm wondering if we can get into the resolution, because I think it's important for the board, for the protection of the board, if we can get into the resolution that the cost of going to 230 isn't very much. The 230 will reduce line loss. The 230 line is more reliable because we are making a $10 million investment here. And I just think those are good points to include in the resolution. I'm not against the motion or anything. I just think it would be good to document the discussion that we have in answer to my question.
Probably a good idea. So do we want to...
I want that. That's important to get it to be a 10 to 20%, but you're there. If going back and putting it in later, you actually probably duplicate your cost.
Oh, yes. No, it'd be significant. So that's why we're trying to get it right now while we're there.
So
Go ahead.
And I guess so the primary driver is that area is aging out, and we're trying to go through and systematically upgrade prior to age out.
Yep.
Good.
And I think currently this would be one of the QGadget's assets in the whole art, the whole ISO transfer, and we would be reimbursed these are costs that we would have to seek reimbursement for the cost of that operation when it comes to that point. Is that correct?
Yeah, so if we go through with the transco, this would become a transmission asset that would go into that rate structure. And it would be allocated with all the other improvements and put into, what we call the common transmission.
And then you guys would be reimbursed their portion of that.
Correct.
Yeah. So we're going to get, and we'll get the money, whether we'll get reimbursed our costs, from my understanding.
You take basically all the costs are done on a load ratio share, so any new construction cost would be included, and then we would pay our load ratio share of what those expenditures are.
Ratio and receive them too.
Right.
So Susan, you're suggesting some edits to the resolution. I agree.
Right. And I lost all the points, but there were about 4 points that justified improving and upgrading the line to 230, and it was reduces line losses. Well, the line is aging out, that improving it to or upgrading it to 230 is only a very small increment of the cost, and that going 30 reduces line loss. That's it.
You're breaking out.
So perhaps we do this. We will take a short little break, and we will revise the resolution, and then we'll come back and we will vote on the motion with a revised resolution. Is that okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's take about a 10-minute break. And we will work on the wording of the resolution.
The paragraphs would read, whereas the eventual conversion of the 115 kV line to 230 kV will result in a reduction in losses and an increased transfer capacity from the Kenai Peninsula to Anchorage, and whereas this section of the 115 kV line has reached the end of its useful life and must be replaced, and the additional incremental cost of construction at 230 kV is 10-20% greater than an in-kind replacement, and which would result in significant savings over its future conversion to 230 kV.
All right. So, do you accept the
I accept. Yes.
And I accept? Okay. So, the motion on the floor is to approve the revised resolution authorizing the chief executive officer to approve expenditures for the 115 kV rebuild. Any further discussion? All those in favor of approving the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes unanimously. All right, thank you, Mr. Clare. All right, with that, I think we are ready to move into executive session. Is there a motion to move into executive session?
Madam Chair, I move that pursuant to Alaska Statute 10-25-175C1 and 3, the Board of Directors go into executive session. To 1, discuss and receive reports regarding financial matters, the immediate knowledge of which would clearly have an adverse effect on the finances of the cooperative, and 2, to receive reports upon which legal matters that are attorney-client privileged, the immediate knowledge of which could have an adverse effect on the legal position of the cooperative.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, with that, we are in the session.
Alex, we are out of executive session. Jim?
Here's one of the moderators. One of the more complex ones. At least we're working on it. There was a lot of controversy, and I think they discussed it, and I think we're doing the right thing. We just keep getting, participating, being involved, and it'll all work out. We just have to keep this a lot of work. Good God, guys, it's going to get worse.
Okay.
I think that Chugach is the best run utility on the in the rail belt. I have a lot of faith in the staff. I'm sure it's going to be a lot of fancy footwork over the next several months. But I got faith that you know how to dance.
You're a good team.
The old soft shoe, huh?
Cece?
So the chair has a thoughtful discussion of things to staff for all the work that went into the materials for tonight. And I'm sorry I couldn't be there. That's all.
Thank you. Susan?
Well, thanks everybody for a busy meeting and I want to just comment and leave it. You know, when you have so balled up in the air, it's important to just let them all fall once in a while and just sit down and take a deep breath, because you just have a lot going on right now, and we all are sympathetic to that and appreciate your leadership and the leadership of those who are working with you. I just urge you to take a breath once in a while and your perspective up high. And thank you.
Thanks, Susan. Rachel?
Yeah, I want to thank the board for the great, robust discussion, and thanks to the staff for all the hard work to get us to this place and keep us going even further. I also want to celebrate that we had a member come and express interest in participating and seeing what we were about. And if that continues, I really hope that we encourage the members to come forward and actually engage in the conversation. I mean, the room setup may be intimidating for that, and it may be, it didn't seem like she was prepared for that opportunity, but I think it would be great if members are going to take the time, if we actually take a couple minutes out of the board meeting to really respond to who shows up and to be prepared for that moving forward, because I think that would be wonderful. I mean, if more people came and gave us a great idea of what they're hearing and what they're sensing and thinking or what questions they have, that would be fabulous.
Thank you. Sure.
Well, like everyone else, I am very appreciative to Lee and his staff stepping up in 2 hours before a meeting and able to give some thoughtful discussion was beneficial before the REIT meeting. And I guess that's all. Overall, it's a good meeting.
Good. Lee, do you have any?
No, it's just like Susan says, there are a lot of balls in the air. We're trying to keep them going as much as we can. And I think we talked about priorities, and that's what we'll continue to do. But thank you for the board for being patient. I know a lot of times things come at the last minute, but I try to keep you informed and as timely as I can.
Thank you. I don't really have anything to add. Thanks to everyone for all the hard work. And it's going to be a long, probably a couple of months, but too short in so many regards. So. Thank you. And with that, I will take a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.